So let's get started. I want to relate this back to Palm Sunday, because you realize this is Palm Sunday, right? And most of you are not new to church life, so you know what happened on Palm Sunday. Jesus was going into Jerusalem. The people were all excited. They threw down their coats and they waved palm branches and they yelled, Hosanna. Well, what was that all about? Well, back in the Old Testament, throughout Israel's history, their prophets would talk about this coming person, and they would give them a little bit of information here and there. It was going to be a savior. It was going to be a Messiah. He was going to be born in Bethlehem. He was going to come out of Galilee. It talked about how he was going to die. And so they had this hope, okay, and this expectation of this Messiah coming, this Savior coming. And so hundreds of years would go by, and there would be another prophecy, and it would stir their hope back up and their expectation back up. Well, then there was a period of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there was no talk about Messiah. There was no prophetic words about this Savior who was coming. And so I'm thinking, you know, I wondered how difficult it was for them to continue to have hope and expectation after years and years and years of waiting. Well, then we know what happened. One day, shepherds were out in the field and angels appeared and they said, we are coming to bring you good news. Okay, so good news is what you're looking for when you need hope, right? You're expecting to hear something. And then all of a sudden, you hear some good news. The scripture said, good news of a great joy. So not just good news, but news that's going to get you joyful and happy, and it's going to meet that expectation that you had. And do you remember he said that it's great news, good news of great joy to all people. So now this hope and expectation started to rise up again. And they were wondering, well, who is this person? And we know the rest of the Easter story, and we know it was talking about Jesus. But did you realize what the situation was like? Because at Christmas, we don't too often talk about the actual situation of the nation. So the nation of Israel was actually invaded by land and by sea by the Roman Empire. So the Roman Empire moved across the continent and they defeated this country and defeated that country, and left their armies here and left their armies there. And that's what happened with Israel. So imagine if another country would invade the United States, conquer the United States, and now occupy. So Israel was an occupied nation. And all these years, you had hope and expectation that a Savior would come, that a Messiah would come, that a deliverer would come. And then you hear about Jesus. All right. So Pastor Van, you want to throw up our next slide there? All right. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed. When the scriptures say blessed, it means happy. When Jesus did his Beatitudes and he was saying, blessed is this person and that person. So happy is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose what? Hope is in what? In the Lord. So, Pastor Van, it's not in the stock market. No, it's not even in President Trump. It isn't. It's not in what the doctors say or don't say. It says, whose hope is in the Lord. Why? For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear. See, hope helps us replace and get rid of fear. Will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought. So hope helps us move out both fear and anxiety. So four reasons that we're going to look at today to have hope and to hold on to hope. So I picture holding on to hope being like you were skiing behind a boat and something happened in your life and your skis are gone. So now where are you? You're in the water. And you're holding on to this ski rope and you're not going to leave go. Because if you leave go, you could sink. So you're holding on to hope as the boat is continuing to move, as you're journeying through life. So hope is when you're holding on to who? The Lord. You're holding on to the Lord. So quickly, we'll give you H-O-P-E, and then we're going to talk about each. So 4 points today. The first thing that allows us to have hope and to hold on to that rung of that rope as we're being pulled through the water, journeying through life, is that we are promised health. Well, Pastor Steve, how do you know that we're promised health? Well, I could go a lot of ways in that. And you've heard sermons on health and healing. Richie was here and he does an excellent job. But we're going to talk today about what it means to be saved. So the Israelites were looking for this person, this Messiah, that the scripture said would come and bring salvation. Well, when we picture salvation, we picture it means we're getting into heaven. And that might be all we think is included in salvation. The word used in scripture for salvation, for being saved, is sozo. And that means so much more than just being born again. So much more than just having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It means saved, healed, delivered, and made whole. Saved, healed, delivered, and made whole. Well, yeah, when I'm saved, then I know that I am now spiritually saved and whole. But it means also mentally saved, healed, and delivered. Emotionally saved, healed, and delivered. And physically saved, healed, and delivered. Well, Pastor Steve, how about a couple verses? All right, we can do that. Let's look at a couple verses. So our first reason to have hope is because we are promised health. We are promised wholeness. We are saved spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Romans 10:9. Some of you can quote that, I'm sure. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead. Okay? Confess. Believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead. You will be saved. Okay, that word is sozo. So yes, that does mean saved spiritually. But it also means healed and delivered mentally, emotionally, and physically. So that means that when Jesus gave his life on the cross, and on Easter Sunday, which we're going to celebrate next week, okay, Father God caused him to be resurrected from the dead, that what he provided for us was salvation spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Well, if that's the case, then why are we not seeing more of that? Well, part of it is because it was never explained to us. We were told that you pray, "Will Jesus forgive me of my sins and come into my heart, and I'm going to spend an eternity with you." Now it's all done. Now I'm saved. I'm good to go. But we didn't realize what else came with the package. Right, Pastor Steph? So what came with that is physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual healing, wholeness, and health. Another verse, Romans 10:13. Whoever, okay, that's pretty explicit, right? That's all-encompassing. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be sozoed, shall be saved, healed, and delivered. Ephesians 2:8. Another one most of you know. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And the scripture tells us that that faith is even a gift. He gave us the faith to believe, and he saved us by his grace. You have been sozoed by his grace through faith. So that means the same way that you receive spiritual salvation by faith through grace, you can receive mental, emotional, and physical healing. Is that true, Pastor Van? So by faith and through his grace, we can also receive mental, emotional, and physical healing. It's available as part of the salvation package. That's what the word sozo means. Saved, healed, delivered, made whole. So that means health, wholeness, healing, and freedom from oppression are all part of the salvation package. Well, that should bring us hope, right? So that's the H. That should cause hope to arise in us today, because if we're telling ourselves anything different than that, as Pastor Steph said when she came up here this morning, that's a lie that we want to get rid of. We want to say, okay, well, I didn't realize that emotional and mental healing was part of salvation. Well, now you do. Or somebody told me that, well, God doesn't really heal anymore. Okay, yes, he does. That's part of the package. So that's part of our hope, is promised health. All right, the next one is openness. Openness. So this is an interesting one, because Jesus said, blessed, happy are you if you're poor. And I'm thinking, why would I be happy if I can't pay my bills or if I'm getting kicked out of my house? Well, many of the translations explain that to you a little more fully. Poor in spirit. Well, that's not a term we use every day, right, Marty? Do you call me up and say, yay, I'm poor in spirit today? No. So what poor in spirit means is that you're humble enough to admit your lack. Humble enough to admit my lack of what? Well, it could be whatever situation you're going through. Humble enough to admit your lack of joy, your lack of peace, your lack of hope, your lack of strength, your lack of wisdom, your lack of provision. Whatever it is, you're willing to admit your need, your weakness. That's why we're calling it openness. We're willing to come to God and be open and humble and say, I need your help. Let's look at a couple scripture. Oh, and what is the promise that goes with this? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, because they will receive the kingdom. So when you receive the kingdom, that doesn't mean you just know about God's kingdom, or that you've heard about God's kingdom, or when you die, you're going to God's kingdom. It means you're part of his kingdom now. So what comes along with that? That's what we're talking about this morning. what comes along with being part of his kingdom. James 4 tells us that God wants to give us more grace. So we had his grace when we believed, when we were saved, when we were sozoed, healed, delivered, saved, made whole, set free. We had a portion of his grace. But he wants to give us even more grace. Well, how do you come up with that? Because the word says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We're back to this same thing. If we go through life saying, I don't need God, I can get through today on my own, I can handle this situation, I can have my day be based on what I hear in the news. Oh, that's a little scary nowadays. Okay, or what it says on Facebook. And yet the scripture says if we are willing to humble ourselves, he'll give us more grace. More grace. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So folks, we really just need to learn to admit where we're weak, where we need his strength, where we need his help. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. That's a good thing to do then, isn't it? We don't want to lift ourselves up. We want to come to him and say, Lord, you lift me up. We can go to him with any need. The scripture tells us to ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. So doesn't that mean that the opposite could possibly be true? That if we don't ask, it won't be given. If we don't seek, we may not find. And if we don't knock, it may not be open. Now, I'm not limiting God because he can go through all those. He can give you something you've never asked for or even knew that you needed. But the spiritual principle is we ask and keep asking, and then it'll be given. We seek and keep seeking, and we'll find. We knock and keep knocking, and it will be opened. That's Matthew 7:7. So did that ever happen to the people in the scripture, or is that just us today? Is that just because we live in the times that we live in? I don't think so. Paul said that he was praying in 2 Corinthians 12, and he was telling God what he needed and what he was going through and what he was struggling with. And what was God's answer? My grace is all you need. And how did you get grace? By humbling yourself and asking. My grace is all you need, for my power works best or is shown the strongest in your weakness. What? What? So the Lord is saying that my power is actually shown in your life and through your life when you're the weakest. Can anybody have a testimony to say, hey, that happened to me before. I was weak and he was strong. Right, Marty? So what does Paul say? So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses. I'm not there. Not there yet. I don't know about you, but I don't go around saying, oh, I'm so glad I'm weak. Right? But that's what Paul said. I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. Why? So that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. Nope, not there. And in insults and hardships and persecutions and trouble. In suffering for Christ, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So not when I am weak, then I make myself strong. When I'm weak admit my need, humble myself, and go to Jesus, then his strength comes in and he makes me strong. That makes sense? All right. So the other reason we can have hope is that we can humble ourselves and ask. We can admit our need. We can admit our weakness, because we know when we do that, he'll give us more grace and he'll give us the strength that we need. Does that maybe lift your hope a little bit this morning? All right. Pastor Van, you're doing great back there without me remembering to give you any instructions. All right, we're going to do peace next. That's the P of hope. Remember, H-O-P-E, promised health, openness, and now peace. So I know that most of you know the story of Jesus walking on the water and them being out in the storm. But do you know there's another storm story? Another time when they were out in the boat, and it wasn't the Jesus walking on the water and Peter stepping out of the boat instance. And we're going to see what happens here in this boat story. All right, so Jesus, on the same day when evening has come, he said to them, let's cross to the other side. Okay? Jesus said, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. We are in Mark 4:35. Mark 4:35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, and the other boats also went along with him. A great windstorm arose. Okay, let's stop there for a minute. However you picture your journey of life. So for them, they were near water, so a lot of their life was in water. They were in boats. They were fishermen, right? Many of them were fishermen. But maybe when you picture your journey of life, maybe you're walking through a wooded path. That would probably be me. I love walking in the woods. Maybe you picture it in a car going on a journey. Well, let's do a boat this morning. So you're in a boat and you're sailing along through life, and all of a sudden a strong wind comes by. Any of you ever have a strong wind come by while you were journeying through life? And then you look up and now there's black clouds. Okay? Any of you ever have black clouds while you're on your journey? So I can pick on Mother a little. Mother is an optimist. And we used to own some property over at Lake Mead and had a boat. And my father would say, now I'm talking about when we were growing up, I was probably a young teenager, he would say, oh, we can't go over to the lake today. Sunday afternoon is when we went, because it's going to storm. Well, the forever optimist would say, oh, by the time we get over there, it'll clear up. So everybody called my father Gib. So Gib, let's go. All right, so we would pack up and take all of the stuff. We had to carry gas cans, and we had to carry things to wear out in the boat, and we had to carry our lunch. And so we'd get over there, and we're looking at the sky and looking at the sky. And so Miss Optimist would say, oh, look, the sun's coming out. The sun's coming out. So we'd get in the boat, and we'd pull out from the pier, and we'd get out in the middle of the lake. And about that time, crash! And my father would say, Dolores, I told you. And so 100 miles an hour, as fast as we could get our boat back to the dock, we would get there, we would grab all of our stuff, and it would be a cloud burst. And we would get in the vehicle and we'd go back home. He said, I told you it was going to storm. Okay, so how many of you have been on your journey of life and all of a sudden the clouds roll in and you hear some thunder and lightning and you realize now you're in the midst of a storm? So that's what happened to them. They were intending to go across the lake with Jesus to the other side. And now all of a sudden, because why would you go out there unless you were Dolores in the middle of a storm and try to cross the lake? So it was not storming when they started. A great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was filling up. So we're not talking a sprinkle, and we're not even just talking rain coming down, but the boat's now bobbing. Okay, this guy, I get travel sick. You know what I'd be doing over the edge of the boat. So the boat's gone along, and now the waves, the wind's blowing the waves, and it's coming into the boat, and it's filling up the boat. So I got to picturing, okay, so what would Peter be doing? Well, Peter would probably be using everything he could to get the water out of the boat, right? And I can picture John sitting there just looking at Jesus, waiting to see what Jesus is going to do. And then there's probably some other guys that would be a little more like me. Oh my goodness, we're going to sink, right? And they're out in the middle and they can't even see the shore because it's dark and it's windy and there's waves. So what was Jesus doing? Jesus was in the back of the boat asleep on a pillow. What? What? Come on. And they went and they woke him up. So there's Jesus. And we're not talking about that it was just drizzle, right? We're talking about enough of a storm that it's filling the boat. The waves and the wind are pushing the water into the boat. And he's still asleep. And they go up to him and they say, okay, so they go to the back of the boat and they say, Pastor Van, don't you even care that we're dying and sinking here? And that's what they said to Jesus. Did you ever do that? Now, I did. So I'm going to be honest. I've had a storm of life come up and it's dark and it's blowing and it seems like Jesus is asleep. And I'm like, don't you even care? That's what they said. Don't you even care that we're perishing, that we're going to sink and die? Would they sink and die with Jesus in the boat? I don't think so. He arose, rebuked the wind, said, peace, be still. That's all he said, three words. Peace, be still. Come on, we would want much more than three words. We'd want a whole sermon, right? Who stands up on Sunday morning and says, okay, congregation, here's the sermon for today. Peace, be still. Okay, you can go home now. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said, why were you fearful, and why did you have no faith? So Jesus carried enough peace that he could sleep in the midst of a storm. In John 14:27, he said, peace I leave with you. Okay, that means Jesus was leaving and going to heaven, but he said, I'm going to leave my peace down here with you. So he already left it. That means we don't have to ask him. He already left it. My peace I give to you. That's what I want you to remember this morning. The P is peace. The same peace that allowed Jesus to sleep in the back of the boat on a pillow in the midst of a terrific storm is the peace that he gives us. His peace. And Jesus knew that we would picture another kind of peace. We would picture the peace that the world offers when everything's smooth. When the economy is good, we're happy with what's happening politically, our job is good, we got a good report from the doctor, we have food on the table, none of the kids are sick this week. Then then we can have peace. But Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be full of fear. So what this message of hope about peace tells me is, I'm part of making that choice. I can either allow the storm to cause me fear and make me think I'm sinking to the bottom of the lake, never to be heard from again, or I can receive the peace that Jesus gives us, his peace, peace that is different than the world, and I can understand that he's there in the boat with me, and it's not going to sink. Philippians 4:7 says, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. King James says it passes all understanding. But I a lot of times don't understand King James because this is not 1547 and I don't speak King James anymore. So the New Living says you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So what's a guard do? Come on. A guard stands in front of Buckingham Palace and says, you shall not pass. Right? You are not getting in here. If you come toward me and I don't know you, you are going to get a fight. So this is saying that if we receive Jesus' peace, his peace stands guard over our hearts and our minds. For most of us, the battle is up here. Because we know in our heart that Jesus is peace and he gives us his peace, but our mind tries to tell us something else. But if we will allow his peace to reign in our lives, it says it will stand guard and say to fear, you will not pass. You cannot enter here. Come on, is that bringing hope? Palm Sunday, Jesus our Savior, Jesus the one who saves, heals, and delivers, he gives us his peace. Last one. Eternity. So hope, promised health, openness or humbleness, peace, and eternity. So sometimes we think, well, those things just happened back then. Those things just happened to the disciples. Those things just happened when Jesus was living here on earth. But they don't happen anymore. Yeah, I think we need some truth there. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today. Today, whatever your situation is today, Jesus is the same, and what, Vi? Even tomorrow, that we're not there yet, that we're worrying about, that we're saying, what if? Jesus is the same there. Same Jesus. He hasn't changed, Pastor Van. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So whatever situation you're currently going through, more than likely, he's one of those three. Either you need him to be the way because you don't see a way forward. You've tried to make the way. You've tried to dig yourself out. You've tried to blast the mountain. Whatever you've tried to do, you're not making a way. He's the way. Jesus said, I will make a way where there is no way. He is the way. He's the truth. If you're believing a lie, because you've told yourself a lie, or somebody else spoke a lie over you, or the from the cartoons, the devil's sitting here and he's whispering, da, 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 this storm is never going to stop. It's never going to get any better. Your boat's almost sunk and tomorrow it's going to sink. Okay, so We can choose to believe that lie, or we can believe the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, yeah, I know he was that. Nope. Always. He always is the way, always the truth, and always the life. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Jesus said that over and over and over. Don't be afraid, and my mind would be thinking, why? Shouldn't I be afraid? Because I am with you. Don't be afraid, because I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So that truth means, even if in the midst of the storm, it is so dark, so windy, that you can't even see Jesus in the back of the boat, Jesus is still there in the boat. And so sometimes we just need to remind ourselves, he didn't go anywhere, he didn't leave me, because he said he would never, never. Do we understand the word never, folks? That doesn't mean sometimes, it doesn't mean often, it doesn't mean most of the time. Never. I will always be with you. Never leave you. And as we talked earlier, when we're saved, we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We become part of his kingdom. And so many of us think that that means when we get there. Well, I'm pretty excited to get there. I mean, I don't want to get there tomorrow, but I'm pretty excited to get there and see what that's like. But how did Jesus tell us to pray? Your kingdom come, your will be done here in this place today, even as it is there. So there's hope. There's healing. There we can be humble and open and say, I need your strength, because when I am weak, then you're strong. We can say, oh, there's peace there. So there can be peace here. And there's eternity there, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that can be true here. Right? So today, I'm hoping the H-O-P-E, promised health, openness or humbleness, peace and eternity, brought you hope. Because that's what the Holy Spirit wanted this message to do. So Pastor Van, you want to come up and close? Or Pastor Steph, whichever of you want to do that.